following the word of man or the word of God? Let's read 1 Timothy 4:1. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. 2 Peter 2:1. There will be false teachers among you. Acts 20:29 and 30. Grievous wolves will enter in among you. Acts 17:verse 11. They search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. When Jesus came, he completely destroyed the whole false religious system of his day, which the devil has contaminated and perverted beyond recuperation during the centuries. But then again, due to the church's sins, the devil crept back in and deceived most of the church again with his religious poison, only this time on the damask of Christian doctrines. Only the pure word of God, not interpreted nor explained according to peculiar denominational doctrines, only the pure word of God can give us the truth and set us free. This following message is straight from God's direct word, without the contamination of any religious opinion added. My prayer is that it may help set free any of God's precious children that may be kept in bondage and entangled in some of the many wrong religious interpretations and teachings of today. May the Lord Jesus, by His Holy Spirit, bless, guide, strengthen, empower, and set us free. Amen. What does God's words say about churches and religious buildings? Which is God's true church? Is God there in the church? Let's read Acts 7, verse 48. It says, "The Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as says the prophet." Let's read John 4, 20 until 24. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men should worship. And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him." Verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Let's read also 1 Corinthians 3:16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Amen. What does God's word say about religious permission? Is it needed for having a church? Well, let's read Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." What does God's word say about priests and pastors? Are we all in Christ or appointed by man? Are we all in Christ pastors and priests? Or they must be appointed by man? Let's read 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Amen. Revelations 5, verse 10. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." 1 John 2:27. "But the anointing which ye have received of Him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. That was 1 John 2:27. And let's read also Ephesians 2, verses 18 to 20. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What does God say about theology diplomas? Let's see it in Acts 4, verse 13. Now, when they, the Pharisees, saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's read also Galatians 1, verses 15 to 20. Galatians 1, verses 15 to 20. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which was apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James and the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. As we see, the apostle Paul, he didn't study and receive a theology diploma in how to preach about Christ, but everything he knew was revealed unto him by the Son of God. As it says in verse 16, to reveal his Son in me. What type of church should we have? Which is the true church the Lord and the apostles set up for the glorious first 300 years of the early church? Was it like the expensive religious buildings, the church buildings that we see today? Or were they rather simple, inexpensive house gatherings? How were they? Let's read 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Read also Romans 16, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Read also John 4, from 21 to 24, which we read before, and it says that the hour comes when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And we read as well Acts 7:48, which says that the Most High dwells not in temples made by human hands. What does God say about the Sunday church? Because some take offense if we don't worship with them in their buildings, in their religious buildings, on Sunday. What does the New Testament teach? Is it forbidden if we gather, for example, during the week in a house church to worship? Well, let's read Romans 14, verses 4 and 5. Who are you that judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another man esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let's read also Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holiday, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are of a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Also Galatians 4, from 9 to 11. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Matthew 12, verses 2 and 8. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Verse 8. Jesus answered, The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. John 5, verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. What does God's word say about church leadership? Who ultimately really are our leaders? Let's see 1 John 2, verse 27. It says, we read it before, the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is true and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. John 16, verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Let's read Matthew 23, verses 8 to 10. But ye be not called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call not man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Galatians 1:15-20, you can reread it, is the passage talking about Paul, how he learned about Christ by the Son being revealed to him. He didn't have any leaders to teach him. Also, the question comes, are all the leaders in our church of God? Well, let's read 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So how do we know if our leader is an angel of light, or is he of God? Well, read Galatians 5:22, which says, The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Verse 23. Therefore, by their fruits we shall know them, as it says in Matthew 7, verse 20. We must check their fruits. What does God say about the true church? Are right doctrines enough to make a church to be true? Matthew 23, verses 2 and 3. Jesus said, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not after their works, for they say and do not. Matthew 7, verses 15 and 16. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? You can also reread 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, where it talks about the angels of light. The marks that make a church of God are seen, for example, in John 13, 35, a very nice scripture, which talks about discipleship. It says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Also Romans 13:8-10. "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." What does God say about tithing? It is clear in God's word that his blessings are dependent also on our regular generosity and giving. Let's read, for example, Luke 12, verses 15 to 22. "And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spoke unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said unto him, You fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." Luke 6 verse 38. "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." That was Luke 6 verse 38. Read also 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. It says, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully." However, is paying the tithe still required? Are we still cursed if we don't pay it, as it was with the Jewish law? Well, read Malachi 3 verses 7 to 10. "Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Read also Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." That was in Galatians 3:13. Let's read Romans 3 verses 20 and 28. Romans 3 verses 20 and 28. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." Romans 10 verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Read also 1 Corinthians 16 1 and 2. To see how, since the New Testament doesn't talk about the tithe, how are they doing the collection? So 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Read also Hebrews 8 verse 13. In that he said, a new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. So we're talking about a new covenant in the New Testament. In the whole New Testament, there is no mention of the tithe system being kept by the early church. It is mentioned and practiced only by the Pharisees. What does God's word say about salvation and works? Are works necessary for our salvation as some religions are preaching it? Well, let's see Titus 3, verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Also Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Also John 6, 28 and 29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. And read also verse 47, which says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. The word makes it clear we are not saved by works, but can we be saved if we have no works in Christ? Let's see James 2, verses 14 to 20. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Let's read also 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do this also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Titus 1, 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. But I kept under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Read also Hebrews 6, verse 8. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Dear friends and brethren, we hope that the scriptures can be of some help for you if you're having trouble with the prosperity gospel or some false prophets of today. However, this can easily be spotted by the common traits and characteristics that they all have. For example, here are few. They rarely evangelize the lost, and mostly they evangelize those who already are Christians. This is because the believers can easily be pressed into giving them money, for God's glory, of course, or for some new holy building, or other reasons, which things does not work as easily with the lost, unreached souls. Usually they don't produce money. Another characteristic is that for them, success doesn't mean to reach the lost unbelievers, but to reach the believers, as well as to grow in the size of their congregation, because more people means more money and means more power, which is just the opposite of what the scriptures say. For example, Matthew 10 verse 6 says, "Go rather to the lost sheep." You can read also Matthew 18:11, Ezekiel the whole chapter 34. Another thing is that they preach to others to go and reach the lost in the streets, everywhere, but they themselves don't move a finger, nor teach by their sample, nor do they have fruits of it. Why? Just because they are mercenaries and there is no money for them in reaching the lost. They are to be found only where there is money. Read John 10 verse 4, verses also 11 from 13. The Bible calls this kind of religions Laodiceans. You find them in Revelation 3 from verse 14 until the end. But the sincere believers with fruits are called the Philadelphians, and you find them in the same chapter, Revelation 3, verses 7 to 13. Please, let's be sure we belong to the Wise Virgin's Church. As you know, in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, it talks about the wise virgins and about the foolish virgins. So that the Lord will be able to bless us eternity, let's make sure we are Philadelphians, wise virgins. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear ones, if you need any help, counsel, or fellowship in Jesus, please feel free to get in touch. We love you in the Lord, and may He mightily bless you for His glory. Contact us. Love in Christ.